Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. I'm Amanda Quinn, and in today's podcast, Laura Jackson is not joining me. I've ditched her for someone super awesome. So I actually have Meredith Shaw here with me today. Hi, Meredith.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much. So basically, for all of our listeners out there, I am interviewing Meredith today because she is probably one of the most kick-ass chicks I know. We met years ago, and it was actually at a bridal show. It was super random.
Oh, that's right.
Oh yeah. It was our big meeting, and I was really grumpy. And you were so friendly, and I was like so angry because I was like sweating and hot, and I still remember so well, and you were like so lovely, and I was like, gosh, why am I being such a jerk?
Oh, I do not have that recollection of you.
Okay, perfect. Good. No, so I hit it well.
You did. You totally did. Yeah.
It was only for like the first 10 minutes or so. Then I got over myself. But yeah, so Meredith and I, we've known each other for many, many years, and you just constantly are just like doing so many cool things and so many amazing things and doing, you know, like making huge differences in the industry within fashion and within music and working with young girls to help inspire them. And so there's so much going on. And so that's sort of why, you know, this interview for me is really exciting because I really just want to share sort of, you know, what it is that you've got going on. So why don't you start off by telling our listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, thank you so much. I mean, it means the world to have, you know, awesome chicks like yourself and Laura, kind of recognizing what I'm up to too. So it means a lot. It's a nice sisterhood going on there.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of operate on a few different worlds, which I think gives me a little bit of a unique perspective. I mean, I host a radio show on 104.5 Chum FM, and I do the evening show there. I just found out we're number one in Toronto. So that's
exciting. What? That's amazing.
Yeah, that just came out. So yeah, it's very cool. And that also is on iHeartRadio. So I love radio. It wasn't a path that I thought I would necessarily take, but I'm very grateful that the universe kind of pointed me in that direction. Basically because it's brought me to a lot of other things that, again, didn't really know that I wanted. But I'm certainly happy to be in those worlds, and that's television and also fashion. So like you said, yeah, I started in music. I mean, I wanted to be Sarah McLachlan and Jan Arden since I can remember.
Combined?
Yeah, combined, you know, a little bit of Stevie Nicks thrown in there. So I had a lot of just really powerful female role models growing up. And I remember the first time it dawned on me that like I could write a song, because I was just in music kind of being musical and being kind of a drama queen and on stage and doing fun stuff. And then I remember thinking like, oh, I remember listening to Sarah, like one of the Sarah McLachlan records and thinking, okay, like she writes, oh, I could maybe write a song. So it's a very kind of 360 powerful moment. Like last week, I got to chat with her and interview her for Chum FM. So it was
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those moments where you're like, what is happening?
You feel like you're like lost in the matrix somewhere.
Basically. Yeah. And I just, you know, I had to keep it together. I mean, my wonderful woman at Chum FM, Ashley Greco, did the interview. And I was just kind of fangirling around. I'm just glad that I didn't start crying like while she was there. I waited until she went around the corner and then kind of lost it. But I think it's one of those. I sort of just mentioned that just because it's one of those moments that I've been having in my life of like, wow, I didn't necessarily plan on being in these spaces, but there really is truth to be told there that if you kind of show up every day and work a little bit harder every day, there's going to be other things at play as well, you know, sort of the universe plan or whatever. I mean, I don't want to, I said the word universe in the first 5 minutes of this interview, so I don't want people to think I'm like too crazy, but
no.
There's something about that if you sort of show up and nudge your life along that, you know, it will kind of meet you halfway. So I'm luckily experiencing some of that. And yeah, the fashion thing has been totally out of left field. I mean, I'm a curvy girl. I always have been. Some years I've been uncomfortable with that kind of status. Now I'm feeling myself. And I guess, you know, again, that sort of shows that if you're comfortable in your own skin, you know, good things happen. And fashion has certainly been that for me. It's always something that I've been interested in, not necessarily something I ever envisioned myself being a part of. And I think that's the case for a lot of curvy women. You know, we sort of feel, I think less so now, but we sort of feel a little marginalized in that community. So that's one of the motivating factors for me for really being a part of it is to break that down and kind of have everyone come to the fashion party. You know, we've all got good bodies. We all deserve cute things. And I like being a part of that conversation.
Very cool. No, and I mean, well, that kind of actually leads into my first question with you, because I really, you know, I'm fascinated sort of by what it is that you are doing in the modeling career, because you've been exploding in that sort of industry. And, you know, I guess my first question was, like, you know, if there was anything in particular that you've had to kind of personally work through in order to be comfortable in front of the camera, because I know that sometimes, you know, even for myself, like when we first started Fit Chicks and we started doing interviews on camera and like video, I still to this day can't like watch any of my video interviews or anything. I literally can't, because I just feel like I'm too critical of myself, you know, and it's getting better, but it's still not great. And so, you know, and I know that that's for me and that's been my experience. Was there anything for you that you kind of had to work through in order to be like, to feel really confident and comfortable and to be, as you said, feeling yourself?
Oh, totally. I mean, and that's a day to day, right? I mean, we feel ourselves and then we don't, right? I mean, that's the crux of it all. You know, it's just when you think you've got it figured out, you don't. And I think being comfortable with that is a really attainable goal. Like being comfortable with the fact that some days you're going to feel all right, other days you're not. Some days you're going to eat healthy, other days you're not. Like getting comfortable with being uncomfortable is kind of been for me the biggest lesson, because I'm a bit of a type A. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I'm a go-getter, you know, all those things about a Sagittarian. I am those things, and they've served me well. And they also, you know, they also have their hangups. And I've really, that whole adage of like, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I say that to myself a lot, you know, and that also comes to my own self and my own body and my own perspective within myself and my confidence and everything. And certainly, I mean, modeling, that's what you're being paid to do. I mean, yes, there are certain physical attributes that I guess come with quote unquote being a model, but really once those are satisfied, like there are a lot of model quote unquote girls out there. And the reason why some work more than others is really that confidence factor, that it factor, that thing that you bring to the table. And it really doesn't have anything to do with what you look like. It has to do with your relationship with yourself. And that's, you know, that's one of the hardest things to have in terms of like a healthy relationship. So it's definitely something that I work on still, you know. And when you look at my Instagram account and you think, oh wow, she's all got it together. Sometimes, and other times, you know, not so much. So I hope that that's something that I can kind of be a bit of a beacon for, is that it's okay to have, you know, good days and bad, and it's okay to feel like you've got it figured out and then not. And modeling has really taught me that. It's shown a mirror literally to myself.
Yeah.
And I've had to kind of, you know, meet myself there in a way that I haven't before. So I'm very grateful for it. Very grateful to the experience, but, yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, like you, it's hard to look at yourself. It's hard, you know, for me when I catch myself sometimes on the radio, if I'm pre-recorded, like, ooh, it's hard to hear. we have a funny relationship with ourselves. And I think that's what kind of keeps it interesting, but keeps it hard, you know, some days as well.
Agreed. No, I totally agree with you. Now, in the industry, like in the modeling, speaking specifically about modeling industry, is there anything within that industry? Because now you're really involved in it now. I mean, you've been doing stuff even with Ashley Graham and like doing some amazing like cover shoots with, I believe it's Dare magazine, correct? You had the cover shoot.
Dare, yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you're doing all these crazy things and like so much success. But is there anything in the industry specifically that you'd like to see change or like that you maybe plan, or like, I know you always have a million plans going on in your brain. So is there anything that you kind of like in your mind is like, this should probably change and this is how I'm going to maybe be involved in it? The reason why I ask that is because one of the things that me not being in that industry at all, obviously, one of the things though that I've always found just from an outsider looking in that I've always found a little bit like, not offensive, but maybe just like something that I just don't really relate to is even just like the whole idea of like plus size versus this. Like, I just believe a model is a model. And I know that like they kind of try to categorize things, but like really in my mind, it's like, if you, you know, if you're a model, it really shouldn't matter sort of the size and sort of where you're at, because especially because they're plus size is like generally speaking like average like Canadian American women. So to me, I don't know, it's something that I've just never personally related to. So is there something in the industry that you kind of see from an out, like from an insider, that you think should change?
Well, I mean, that's certainly been a hot topic recently, just the term plus size, and some models identify as plus size models, some don't want to. I mean, I think though I do find that discussion valid, I also feel like it's sort of also just semantics. I mean, if you're out there in the body that you're in and you're modeling, then ergo facto, you're a model. Like, this is not, but at the same time, being a size 12, 14 woman, I'm fine with the term plus size because I am.
Like, yeah.
And I don't think there's, you know, the only reason why I would have a problem with that word is if I have shame associated with that word. And I don't. I used to. Like, you know, let's be really clear. I used to. I don't anymore because I see my body as something that I work on. You know, like, I eat pretty clean and I work out 4 or 5 times a week. And like, this is my body at its quote unquote, you know, best. I mean, yes, we're heading into the holiday hibernation season, and I'm taking full advantage of that. But you know, this is my body with health and kindness and effort. So I don't really think you can require your body to be more than that. You know, there are certainly things I can tighten up on, or I can go all protein for a month and lose 5 pounds, whatever. But it's all a bit of a game, and we all cycle through it. But I think to have that overall healthy relationship with your body, it's just the knowledge that you're putting effort into your health and this is what you look like. So whatever that ends up being, you know, rock on. But in terms of specifically with the modeling industry, yeah, I mean, I think it's more and more so, I think it would be nice to see, sort of if we are deciding to just use the term plus size for this purpose, a plus size model and a straight size model sort of working together, you know, not having as much division between the two. Mm-hmm. I do think that breaks it down between plus size or straight size models and just has it be models. And I think a lot of stores now are kind of getting in on that. You know, it used to be that you'd probably in a quote unquote straight size store see about a size 10 or a size 12 max.
Yeah.
And then maybe you'd have to go to a different section or a different floor or a different store altogether. But now I'm finding more and more, because, you know, along with my work in modeling, I also work, you know, styling other people. And I'm seeing more and more in just sort of quote unquote regular straight size stores up to definitely a 14, if not a 16. And I'm talking about, you know, places like Zara or H&M or, you know, sort of that type of level of really easy shopping, mall shopping. And I think that's super cool because I remember being a teenager and being curvy, and it was sort of hard to go shopping with my friends because, you know, we'd go out on Saturdays and they were all teeny tiny and I would buy shoes, you know, buying clothes. Cause like, I literally couldn't buy clothes at that store. So
right.
Really awesome. If I think of sort of a 14-year-old version of myself or whatever now out and about with their girlfriends, I think it's really great that they can all go shopping together and all be in the same section. And so I just think that type of vibe could be more related into the actual advertisements and the modeling and the models that they choose. You know, I think if a store like Zara does sell up to a 16, why not try a six size, you know, a plus size model in your campaigns? And I think the States are doing better at it than we are. And so I'm very interested in being a part of that here in Canada. I mean, I did just recently get signed to an agency in the States, so I will be working.
I saw that. Congratulations.
Thank you. But I mean, I really think that here in Canada, we have terrific designers. You know, we have wonderful sort of fashion capitals, both here in Toronto and in Montreal. And I think there could be more editorial shoots and more campaign shoots done with model diversity, which includes size.
Right. How did you feel? And sorry, this is just off the top of my head. I'm just curious. When the Sports Illustrated magazines came out, you know how they were doing, they did three different covers.
Yes, they did.
They did the like two sort of regular Sports Illustrated models.
Yeah.
Like, and then they had one that was a plus size model. Was it Ashley Graham?
Ashley, yeah.
It was Ashley, right.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that? Like, just based on what you were just talking about, I'm just curious to know your opinion on, like, because they kind of segregated it, right? They did it almost like as a test, from what I remember, to see which cover would sell the best.
I mean, I think with those things, you can see it in a lot of different ways. And I choose to see it as a huge step in the right direction. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, sure, there were three different covers. A lot of people were saying, yes, she's a plus size girl on a Sports Illustrated, but there are two other covers. So it's not really, she's not really the cover girl. And then other people are also saying, well, she's not really plus size. And I find all of those discussions kind of distractionary to the point. And the point is that an iconic magazine like a Sports Illustrated, known for promoting one very specific body type,
yes,
being forced, whether they want to or not, because we the public are demanding it. They're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing this because it's going to sell magazines.
Right.
And so that means that we have spoken up loud enough that they're responding. So I think that's a win for everyone, you know, for straight size, for plus size, for the fashion industry, because the more and more that becomes part of the mainstream fashion lexicon, the more and more those mainstream fashion designers are going to start incorporating that. And that, again, is just a win for everybody.
That's a great way of looking at it. Definitely. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense
to
think of it as like a positive as opposed to a negative. You know,
yeah, because then I think
we stay on the positive train.
Well, I mean, we just lose the momentum. Like, yes, there's way more to be done, but that's a win. That's the plus, literally. that's
so funny. Thing,
you know, it's better than not. Like, I'd rather Ashley Graham be on one of those covers than not at all. So
totally.
And I do think, just because sometimes I talk about this stuff on the radio show on Chum FM, and sometimes I find it interesting that the discussion. Again, and I think we as women kind of do it to ourselves. It's like, if we get on the fact that either there were three covers or that Ashley Graham isn't plus size enough, because I've sort of seen both of those arguments. I remember.
Yeah, I've seen that stuff too.
And it's like, and it's women talking about it that way. It's like, why don't we not get hung up on that? Because if we do, then the sort of mainstream plus shouldn't be beautiful and admired kind of wins, you know, like if we start ripping it apart, we're not pushing it forward. So but what also is interesting to me is that people don't realize they're doing it, because I think we're so trained to do that and to look at stuff that way. But I think when new things are happening in whatever capacity, I think it's sort of important for us to support it.
Very cool. Very good outlook. Now, in terms of outside of your modeling, you now just recently started I call it the hashtag We the Curvy movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about what that is and what inspired you to do that? Because I think it all kind of ties in together really nicely with
Absolutely.
The direction you're going.
For sure. I mean, very much what I was just talking about ties into that for sure. Mm-hmm. I write a column for Canadian Living. So I write the only plus size style column in Canada, which I hope I never have to say that again.
I was actually just going to say that's a really crazy statement that you just made, that it's the only one in all of Canada.
Yeah, the only mainstream magazine curvy specific plus size column. And I hope I hope very soon I am one of many, you know, I hope that changes. But right now, you know, it's the only one going. And I give big ups to Canadian Living for wanting to get involved, and or not just get involved, but, you know, do it.
Of course. No, that's amazing.
They've been tremendously supportive. I mean, they're really about women, and certainly a huge majority of that women, you know, are a size 12, 14 plus. So mm-hmm. I think it's very smart for them to be servicing that group of people and giving them style ideas. And I'm really thrilled to sort of be at the helm of it. I called it We the Curvy just because I think curvy is a spectrum. I think it's kind of also a state of mind. You know, I think there are a lot of different curvy bodies in the world. And I think thus far, there's been a lot of segregation and kind of separation and exclusionary type language involved with being plus size or being curvy or being fat. You know, there was a whole bunch of stuff about that word. And I was just hoping to try to do something a little bit more inclusive, a little bit more broad. And also there was something about We the Curvy that seemed positive and kind of, empowering. There was something kind of like a tribe, like here we are.
Yeah, no, totally. It sounds like a movement to me. Like as soon as I read it, I was like, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And hopefully I know you're in a curvier state of being at the moment, but I hope it seemed like it was something that everyone could kind of get behind, as opposed to feeling like, oh, well, I'm not plus size, so that doesn't pertain to me. Because I, you know, now styling people, you know, I'm dealing with women at size 8, a size 10, you know, that in itself, when you're not just a hanger, you know, yeah. When you're not just straight up and down, no hip, no nothing, you have challenges when it comes to dressing your body. And you have challenges when it comes to like looking at magazines, trying to figure out what you like, trying to figure out what's actually going to work on your body, what's going to work in your life.
Gosh, yeah.
Right. And so I feel like, you know, we, the curvy is a bit of a more inclusive word, I think. And I hope, you know, the we about it, is inclusive and kind of pushes us forward.
For sure. I think, I mean, like I said, when I heard it and when I read about it and when I read your articles and stuff, I felt like it just sounds very empowering to me. Like,
yeah, good.
It's just, yeah. Yeah, like we, the curvy, like it sounds like we're like this tribe and we're this movement and we're moving forward and we're proud of this, you know, as opposed to it feeling like this is just something that we're kind of like brushing under the carpet. Do you know what I mean? Like it has like a very empowering sort of statement to it. So
yeah, and we, you know, we like clothes, but like we're also doing other stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's not the whole thing, but it's like we like to look cute doing it. So these are get that. This is how to do it. And I think it's important too to support those designers that are trying to make it happen, you know, and so to give them a bit of a spotlight. One of the people I had involved with in one of the columns in the December issue, she's a brand from the UK, and she does beautiful dresses, sparkly, lovely, kind of, you know, Gatsby era stuff. And she emailed me after it was in the magazine. She's like, I've gotten so many orders from Canada. Like, this is awesome. And it, all that was kind of shining a light on someone who was really trying to push forward the sort of ideology that we have anyway. So that is exciting to me. And I think it's important just as it is important to empower the women and the buyers and the people who are wearing the clothes. It's also important to empower the designers who are trying to make it happen too.
Of course. Well then, cause I mean, if they're feeling empowered, they're going to continue to be inspired by it and continue to reach forward to make it even that much better, that much more accessible, right? And hopefully then start more of a movement with other designers too, jumping on board and recognizing, because I know that like even for many years, it was always one of those things that a lot of women I do know that are curvier, that they always had issues with, you know, like they had such limited options. And now I find that there is a lot more options out there.
Yeah,
for sure.
And what's cool too, I mean, empowering and inspiring, those are great things, but there's also economics behind it, right? Like designers who are designing for the curvy woman, if people don't know they exist, they're not going to buy the clothes and then they're not going to be able to keep going. So
for sure. Know,
yeah, it's empowering, but it's also financial and <Yeah. laughs> that is happening and that kind of commerce is going on.
Yeah, no, you definitely need to support those designers so that they can keep going on this for sure.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say to all of our listeners out there what would you say, like, if there's someone who may struggle with body image or self-doubt or anything like that, what would be sort of like, to wrap this conversation up, what would be like the one or a couple of like words of advice that you would sort of give to them to be like, you know, to help them sort of overcome those struggles or to maybe just see themselves in a different point of view? And I know you've already sort of touched on these things, but just, you know, to really kind of, to bring it home.
Yeah. Well, and it's so perfect that I'm talking to you and about this, but I really feel like one of the biggest things you can do for your self-confidence and for your almost self-trust with your own relationship with your body is to get it moving.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. This isn't some you guys, but really and it's been my own personal experience, and I'm not talking about extreme things, but if you can fall in love with what your body can do, I really think that's a starting point. Like, it's a real relationship builder, because then you get out of your own head about it. And it's not about, oh, I don't fit into those pants or that skirt from 5 years ago. It's like, I climbed that hill. I lifted that thing. Like, it's a whole different relationship with your own self-confidence and your own ability. And then your size starts to not matter as much. It's more about what that body can do and what you can do with it. And then what's nice about that is that the sort of end result of that is that you do probably get healthier and a little fitter and a little tighter. And so it just kind of rolls on itself. But for me, that kind of fitness, and again, not extreme, not unrealistic, but that kind of daily movement, in whatever way that you fall in love with. I mean, I do dance classes. Sometimes I'll try a bar class with a friend. A spinning studio opened down the street for me, so I tried that. Like, you can do different things. It doesn't have to be set in stone, but for me personally, that's been a really big thing. And then just that idea that maybe your listeners have read about it before, but our own self-talk is really harsh, you know, and we would never ever talk to our friends that way.
So
just being able to even recognize that it's happening, because for a while there, for me, I didn't even really hear it. I just reacted to it, you know. But if you can kind of slow down that process a little bit and just be like, okay, step off, like, you are being super mean to me. And no one else is thinking that. Because what also is funny is, like, everyone else is just thinking about their own hangups. They're not thinking about you and judging you.
Like, right.
They are being just like you and judging themselves. So, that kind of get moving and then also get a little kinder. I think those are two things that you actually can do, like, now. And after, you know, you compound a couple days, a couple weeks, you really start to feel like a different kind of person in terms of your relationship with your body.
Totally agree with you. 100%. I think, well, as you know, obviously movement is like my number one obsession. But I mean, it's not even necessarily, it's exactly what you said though. It's not about, for me, it's not about having a six pack. I've never even had one. I don't even want one.
Right.
It's literally just not that's not my jam. That's not what I'm into. Right. It's more just about power, strength, and health.
Yeah.
You know, and knowing that, and the whole thing that you were talking about with capability, I resonate with that so much, because I always think, like, if I'm out for a run or I'm doing something that's really challenging and I want to give up, I always think, like, no, just continue and be grateful that I can.
Yeah.
You know, like, just, you have to be like really grateful for what your body can accomplish. So totally resonate with that. And the negative self-talk, I mean, we consistently are preaching this as well, because I think, as you said, we can be so nasty to ourselves and so judgmental. And all it does is just put you into like a tailspin of just like the snowball effect of, like, you know, you just start getting kind of crazy on yourself, and there's no reason to be that way. Really.
And I think, you know, I think also is that there, you will always probably have some of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of like eliminating it completely might be a little bit unrealistic, but to be able to catch it sooner so that it doesn't snowball, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that you can sort of, you know, be with it in the elevator. Like, you can be with it, but not have to have it dictate everything that you do, you know? And for me, like I said before, that was really the biggest thing, of just realizing I was even doing that. Cause I felt like, you know, I was kind of this relatively confident chick. I mean, this is what I do for a living. Like I, you know, but there were still moments where I was really, you know, kind of not great with it. And that was what was happening. I was just being really judgmental, really selfish. Yeah. And it's so much more fun to be on your own team. It is so much it's so much more fun, and there's no reason not to be. And it, like, if you're listening right now and you're thinking, yeah, just try it. Just try it for like 2 days. Just give it a shot. Like, just be really indulgent with yourself, and you'll, I think, probably see that the world didn't end, and you're probably in a better mood. And you know,
yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I think those are two things that are realistically attainable, and that you could start doing right now.
That's awesome. That's great advice. Well, thank you so much, Meredith, for all of your time today, for sharing your story, your information, your inspiration. I really appreciate it. It's always amazing to chat with you.
Thank you.
And I wish you all the success, as always, with everything you've got going on.
Well, thank you.
Especially in the U.S. I'm so pumped that you've broken through into that market as well. It's just another level of success for you. So congratulations on everything.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, with that being said, we are going to wrap up this conversation. As always, to all of our listeners, if you have any questions, comments, or anything that you'd like to hear about, email us info@fitchicks.ca. Also check us out on social media @fitchicks. And Meredith, what is your social media? Give us a shout out so they can follow you.
Oh yeah. Twitter, I'm @MeredithShaw, Instagram, what that has lots of different fashion picks and where you can get them and shopping and all that good stuff is @MeredithShawToronto.
Awesome. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you again, Meredith. And for everyone listening, thank you so much and have an amazing day. Bye everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.